This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Well, we survived another one. Big storm last night. Everybody had their electricity go off at one time or another. But it did break the weather a little bit. It went from over 100 down into the high 70s, I believe.
You know, the tallest structure in Rutherford County, though, did not take a lightning hit.
Your tower?
Mm-mm.
Didn't?
We stayed on the air throughout the whole thing, so we were thankful.
So we stayed on all the time. We did not have one break during that whole...
No electricity problem.
Well, I should have been listening last night because I was trying to watch something on television, and it was impossible. So I went out, and my wife kept hollering at me and said, "Look how much rain we're having." And I couldn't hear it inside, so I went out there. I couldn't believe it. I've never seen such a flood in my life.
The lightning show was spectacular.
It was. It was beautiful. Did you take pictures?
Yeah, we even got a little video on the website of a big lightning strike. So
you know, while you and I are discussing this, Peggy Vaught is over here dying to get into the conversation. But
she paid me to stall, actually.
Did she?
Uh-huh.
So what she doesn't realize is we're going to have to do a commercial before I allow her on the air.
I see.
And which is going to be very difficult to keep her off. So, Peggy, if you could be quiet just for a couple of seconds, we're going to talk about at-home care. And what they do is they take people, well, older than you and I, but who are having trouble staying at home and taking care of themselves. And they bring in all these services that allow them to stay home and enjoy life the way they should. And what they do is they offer errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, medication reminders, and many other things. And that we're talking about 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So Melissa Warren was kind enough to start that service here. And if you'd like to take advantage of it, their place is at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, like in Henry, right behind the Kroger on Memorial Boulevard. Or you can reach them at 713-4639 or on the website www.athomecaretennessee.com. And we have Miss Peggy Vaught on today. And I have known her for many, many years. She is one of the most talked about ladies and one of the ladies who does the most talking in Milton and in the Las Casas area. She knows more about everybody in that community than anybody else. She was the postmaster there at the post office for many, many years. We were talking earlier, and she said 40 years, which doesn't seem possible for a lady who looks as young as she is. But it must be good living, Peggy. I mean, you've had a great life.
You really have.
And you're continuing to have a great life.
You better believe it.
And you've known so many, many interesting people over the years. And I guess, the people that you knew so well, did you ever have maybe a hint or an urgency to maybe open up some of their mail and see what was coming through?
No, not really, unless things got real, real slow. But I knew what I'd face if I did it, so I let her go.
And you of all the interesting people, of course, your own family. I mean, you got some interesting people in your family. And when Stan was on the county commission, I worked with him on a number of things that had to do with the sheriff's office in the county, and always did a great job. And of course, you've got Mike, and they're such good boys. But there's one person's name that comes up almost inevitably about some of our true characters of a certain place. And we're talking about Las Casas in the Milton area. What name just seems to pop up more than any other?
Well, I guess Bobby Wynn.
Now, I wonder why.
Because he was such a nut. He would...
Now, would you say that in front of his wife now?
Sure I would. She's here, and I may let her say it.
Is she in the room with us?
Oh, sure.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, she's behind us back here.
Yeah.
And she's sitting on a chair refusing to come up here. I wonder why.
I don't know.
You're not going to say anything about her, are you?
No, not unless she doesn't come up here.
Now, you've known them a long time.
Long, long time.
Before they were ever married.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there is a story about before they got married and when after they got married.
Which
you want to relate that to
which
me?
Which one?
Well, how about the time that you had to have some work done over at the house?
Oh, yeah. Bobby was going to help us put the studs in our new bathroom. Our house had burned, and the community was helping us build it back. And Bobby and Ella didn't want anybody to know they were marrying. So he comes down and hurries up. And then the next day when the carpenters came, he put every one of them up wrong. Had to tear them out and do it over.
Now, why do you think he did that? Because Bobby is a perfectionist. He would always make sure he did everything right.
I should have known better than to ever let him start. I knew him.
You guys were not too far apart in age. All of y'all pretty much grew up pretty close together.
Well, I'm a little bit ahead of them all.
Did every one of y'all grow up in the Las Casas Milton area? It's hard to say Las Casas or Milton,
yeah,
but they're both
yeah.
just the same.
Well, his wife didn't. She grew up in the city of Murfreesboro in Walter Hill.
Well, Ellen was a city girl.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. So how did you get to be friends? Or were you ever friends with Bobby?
Well, I guess just because I've known him all. It's like I can remember when he was a little boy. He used to come to Sunday school and he'd have on a sharp pair of white short pants, riding a bicycle, carrying a Bible under his arm. And whether it did him any good or not, I don't know. But
Bobby was carrying a Bible underneath his arm.
And rode a pretty good distance on the bicycle.
Now what age were you talking about at that time?
He was about 13.
Oh, my goodness. And he had one of the nicest farms out on the left going
toward... They were living on Lofton Road at that time.
On Lofton Road. Well, that's been a long time ago. Is that where his family was at that time?
No, they lived up... Yeah, they lived there then, and then later moved up on 96.
I don't remember Bobby and the Winds living back there.
Yeah, they... It was... few years after that.
And you guys have remained friends all these years. And one of the interesting points, and we've talked about this a number of times, about that area has been the closeness of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like that never has ended. I mean, you guys will joke around, pull at each other, and do all kinds of tricks to each other. But when it comes right down to you, you're all family,
oh, yeah.
And it stayed that way. And that's one of the amazing things, that it's that way now. I mean, you can go out at Las Casas and Milton, and you still have that
oh, yeah.
friendly atmosphere, but you never know which person is going to pull a trick on you next.
Could you see that from under you?
Do you think that when Mo was a little girl,
oh goodness,
growing up in the store, do you think that may have warped her for life when she was there? With all the characters that come in that store?
I don't know. Something did.
Because if you look back at it, you're talking about McKee and Ward and Bobby Wynn and all those people. And, of course, Larry Stewart.
He didn't help a bit.
He didn't help at all.
No.
In fact, I think he kind of made things go south.
Yeah.
How was it being a postmaster in Milton at that time?
I was at Las Casas all the time.
Oh, that's right. That's
Las
right.
Casas.
That's right. You had two at that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. You had to work hard, but that
you
was
did?
What you, yeah. But you that's what you were there for, and I really enjoyed it. You got to know everybody. Now you don't know anybody.
How has it changed? Of course, I know the population. There's a lot of people there that
oh, yeah, they have...
The roots aren't deep like most of you.
No, they have more routes out of there than they did when I was there, and they have more personnel in the post office. And, of course, when I was there, there were only two rural carriers, and I had a clerk, and we did the work. And my husband was one of the mail carriers, and my son, Bill McBroom, was the other one. So
I remember Bill.
I kind of had things under control a little bit.
That was always so nice when we would go out to Brownstore or even Manuel's when it was out at Milton, and we would always see people who would always come over And I really enjoyed talking to them and getting to hear some of the things. And inevitably, we would find out just about everything that was going on in Las Casas or Milton just by one stop.
Right, right.
You didn't have to have a map, or you didn't have to have any inside intelligence or anything like that. Everybody was willing to tell you what was happening.
Yeah. So we still... still pretty tight, but there's so many people we don't know now. I'll see something about Las Casas in the paper, well, I never heard of them.
Yeah. You know, I remember when we were, I guess, when Craig was sheriff, and a lot of the boys from Las Casas, we knew just about every one of them
back then.
And they were so much fun when they were growing up, and we're talking about... I wish we could get Ellen up here, because I want to talk about her boys. And of course, we can talk about Bobby. I mean, she doesn't care how much we say about him. And, of course, Bobby's passed on, and I still miss him.
Yeah.
I really do. But at the funeral, an odd thing happened, because you and Bobby were always picking at each other. You both have that sharp mind, and you're always trying to get an edge on somebody. And, in fact, I saw you out at Miller's, and you said, when are you going to have me on? And I said, I'll have you on just as quick as I can get you on. But tell me what happened at the funeral when you pulled in over there at the graveside.
Well, I think they were bringing Bobby's body to the grave, and this car horn started blowing. And somebody said, that's your horn. I said, oh, it's not. Somebody else said, yes, it is. So Bill, my son, got my keys and went and stopped it. And I said, well, I gave him a good send-off.
Yeah.
And he would have...
You sure you didn't do that on purpose?
No, I really didn't, because I didn't know how to stop it from blowing.
You know, he spent... I know Bobby was a hard worker. Why? But he would always come in the store, and he looked like he'd been working so hard. But he could spend all day in there talking with us. So,
oh yeah,
was it Bill doing all the work, or Philip, or who else? Because
probably Ellie Mae.
Ellie Mae.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Hey, Ellen, come on up here.
Y'all doing well?
You know, I don't understand that. Why would a mic be so terrible? Because she can talk an owl out of a tree. So it's awful funny that when they get up here, that they almost... there's nobody looking at us. And we're just here having a good time. That's the great thing about radio. Radio is one of those things that you can come on and be yourself and have fun. And when you were growing up in Las Casas, what did you do when you were girls? What did y'all do to go out and have fun? And where did you go?
Well, if we got to go to the movie... one night a week, that was...
You got to go in at night?
Yeah, but you had a curfew.
Uh-huh.
And going to basketball games. Mm-hmm. Back then, I think there was much more competition in ball teams than there now, because that was the only thing we had to do, and everybody wanted to get to do something.
Did you play ball?
I did.
What position did you play?
I played... at that time, they had three sections of the court, and I played mm-hmm. center.
You played center?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty tall. I can see that. Who was your coach?
Brandon.
Oh, okay.
Bud. No, what? He and I fought, because my daughter was a good basketball player, Janie McBroom.
Uh-huh.
She played for him, and he'd do something I didn't like, and we'd tie up. So finally...
Oh, you weren't one of those moms, were you?
Yeah. So finally, get me to shut my mouth up, they got me to keep the score, and you couldn't holler anything then. You had to be quiet. So I had my striped shirt, and I was Miss TSSAA.
He was the only person that I ever
Campbell
knew.
Brandon.
Campbell Brandon was not your coach.
No, not mine. Bull Brown from up in the Alexandria area was mm-hmm. mine.
Because Campbell and I are not too far apart. He was playing ball. I remember him playing at Central, and then, of course, he coached at Lebanon for years.
Yeah,
great coach.
I think he went to Lebanon when he left Las Casas. Mm-hmm.
And I played football with his brother, Charles Brandon. I don't know if you remember him or not.
Yeah.
So Campbell actually coached out there at Las Casas? I don't remember that.
My daughter was playing then.
Oh, my goodness. Now, was she a good ball player?
Oh, yeah. She was a very good ball player. Both my children played ball, Bill McBroom and Janie, too.
How was Bill?
Bill was good. He was kind of little, and he could slip around.
You know, Las Casas had some pretty good ball teams, but I can't remember them ever beating Kittrell.
I can't either. I know there was a strong competition there.
There was. I mean, I think if you could have taken Las Casas and Walter Hill and Rockvale and Eagleville and put them all together, y'all might have beat Kittrell one or two times.
I remember one time we beat Central, and that was the boys, and that was a big deal.
What year was that?
That was about back in the late 30s.
Late 30s. That's back, oh my goodness, they had Foots Compton close to that time.
Yeah.
Of course, he and Montgomery are two of the best ball players that ever came out of this area.
Ed Florida was playing on our ball team at that time.
Oh, my. Ed Florida, what a great guy.
Yeah.
And there's another one I missed. I mean, all those, what I call legends of the community. You talk about the folklore of Las Casas in Milton. Those are some of the names. And, of course, you mentioned the name Florida. I mean, they come from all over. And do you remember when any of the Ayers or the Lowrys or of that bunch growing up there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm related to the Lowrys. My daddy and their uncle were first cousins.
Okay. You remember where they lived in Las Casas?
Yeah, they lived down there on the Lowry farm, back there where their grandfather lived.
Now, where is that?
And then Ed built a house out on 96. It's right there across the river bridge.
Okay. Right there at the river?
Yeah. On the Las Casas side of the river.
Okay. And that would be on the left going out or the right going out?
It'd be on the left going out.
Okay. Now, that's a beautiful area out there. So
how
was it growing up with those people?
Oh, it was fine. We had a good time.
Do you ever see any of them now?
Sometimes, not as much as
I'd like
to.
Of course, the boys now.
The boys do. My son Bill and Edwin used to ride ponies all the time.
Oh, wow.
And David, the judge, would talk. You couldn't get him to be quiet.
He hasn't changed any.
Not a bit.
It's amazing. You can list all the families, and you can talk. It just about covers the history of Rutherford County as the people that have gone on to do other things. And then you brought in, and which is very difficult. In some ways, Las Casas is a little bit clannish, where they stick to the people that's got the roots there. How in the world did y'all accept Larry Stewart into your community?
I don't know. They evidently didn't judge him before he got there. I don't know.
He had to have some politics somewhere.
Somebody had to push him along.
Were you behind that movement to have his sign put on the bridge?
No, I wasn't behind that, but we tried to stop him because he spent a lot of money to get that done.
Did he?
Yeah.
I wonder who he went to. Who has got the political power in Las Casas right now? Who's the cornerstone or the strong person there?
You know, I wouldn't say anybody. I don't remember when Mr. Hollis Donald was out there and Ed Lowry, and you always had somebody that was kept things going, but now it's just, you know.
You don't see many people carrying that much influence out in the rural communities anymore like they used to.
Well, some of the young people are getting interested in politics. Now, Mike's pretty strong in politics, but there's not too, tell you the truth, there's not too many older ones out there.
No.
Not too many people live as long as I have. So.
Well, you're still young.
Oh, yeah.
You are. I mean, you get around like a 21-year-old.
Oh, well, thank you. But it's changed a whole lot from back. You knew everybody, and, you know, it's just kind of different.
How long have you and Ellen been buddies?
For about
53.
Since 1953.
If she'd come up here, we could hear her better, wouldn't
she? Yeah.
and that's an amazing thing. You're almost like sisters, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because everywhere I go, I see you two together. And that's one of the wonderful things about that. And if you had one person that you would like to see on the air here, get on the air, and be grilled by people in the community about some of the things he or she says, what person would you like to have on?
Mo Brown.
Now, is that because of all the controversies that surround her? Is it because of her mouth?
That could help.
Yeah. You know, I've tried to get her on, and I worked. Well, I worked hard. I mean, she drives a bus, of course, when school's in, and really doesn't do anything else, as far as I know. But it's awful easy to arrange your schedule for just 1 hour. I mean, you did it, and you're a busy lady. You have a lot of things that are going, and I really appreciate you doing that. But it's kind of aggravating to have somebody like her, who is absolutely afraid to be on the air, and then you have a lady like you who has all the true Southern values, and you still enjoy life in the community out there. I don't understand it.
I'm going to tell Mo that she should remember all the things you've done for her, and we might get that published if she doesn't get up here.
You talking about in my past, previous...
Since you, while you were sheriff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really remember a whole lot of that.
You will.
Bless her heart. You know, that's one thing about the Browns. They've always had a way of getting things done. And it goes back to Buddy's daddy.
Yeah.
You know, and we've mentioned this before. That is the only place that I know of anywhere in the state of Tennessee that's really not in the state of Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah. That store, the health department or nobody else has any authority over that particular building. And mm-hmm. It was a store back then.
Yeah.
But you couldn't go in and check the food that Mo would be cooking because they didn't really have any say-so on it.
Uh-uh.
But, you know, it's awful funny how she used to brag and be so rambunctious, I would say, about that. And one day I had one of my detectives pose as a health inspector. And we went out there, and she had this one little sink that the water wouldn't run in. It was broke. And it had been that way for 3 or 4 years. And I told him to be sure and ask her about that. So we were sitting there eating our bologna sandwiches, and he came in and showed his credentials that he was a health inspector, and she got all nervous. I mean, it's the first time I've ever seen Mo where she was speechless. And he went over to the sink and said, how long has that been broke? Why, it must have just happened. I don't know what happened, but we've got somebody, and we'll have them over here and have that thing fixed in no time at all. And I was sitting there, oh, my goodness. And it was all he could do to keep from laughing. And finally, at the end, I had to let her off the hook. But she has done so many things to so many people over the years. But the thing about it, it's all just a masquerade.
Oh, yeah.
And a mask, because I have actually seen her become so emotional and upset over people that things have happened to. And it's just been an amazing thing. Well, where did you first run into Ellen?
Ellen?
Yeah.
It was when about the time they married. Bobby finally brought her out and let us meet her.
Oh, you didn't meet her before then?
No.
Did you go to the wedding?
No.
I thought maybe they would have had, Bobby, he would have had an elaborate wedding and invited everybody in the community.
Well, the main thing is I'm surprised he didn't forget it.
Well, bless his heart. And I'm sure that they went to, probably took a cruise or some nice trip. Where did they go?
I think they got as far as Clarksville.
Oh, wow. You know, that's one thing
Long
about
trip.
Bobby. He knew how to court and woo a woman. I mean, and he would spare no expense, would he? Bless his heart.
Oh, but he was something else.
Yes, he was.
He used to come down to my brother's cornfield and get corn out, and he would shuck the corn and leave the shucks in the garden. Wasn't anything he wouldn't do.
Do you think that Bobby was continually conspiring and thinking about the next thing that he was going to do to somebody?
Yeah.
You know, I told you earlier, and Ellen, I don't think, had heard this, but he actually was in the old barbershop at Las Casas, and he was the only one in there at the time. I don't know if he was reading comic books or what he was doing, but somebody came in that was not from that area and needed a haircut and propped into the seat and said, "Give me a haircut." And guess what? He gave him a haircut. I mean, I can imagine what it looked like when he left there.
I can believe that.
Oh, my goodness. Do you remember, you were talking about David Lowry and Ed Lowry growing up. Did you ever imagine that they would end up the way they did? And of course, we're talking about Ronnie Knight, too. I mean, it's just it's amazing the level that they were able to reach in this community.
They've done very well. I'm very proud of all of them.
Yeah. I consider all of them friends. And David and I got to be close when we were neighbors. We used to live over off of the Northville section, and still miss that area. Just absolutely gorgeous area. And I just but he and I had an old fence that petrified. I mean, it was hard as a rock, and I was trying my best to rebuild that fence and drive nails in it. And David came over to be a good neighbor. And I believe half the nails that we were trying to drive into that wood would end up in the middle of the street. That was one of the hardest projects. But I'll say this for David, he never did relent. He stayed out there with me the whole time. And all that is just part of the work ethic that they have out there. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips now, how about you? Readable, readable, readable.
Tom Brady will be delighted to see him there. Tom Brady is the one who rebuilt the mill and is now fully operational. They have breakfasts there on Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Nora's in there helping him, and whatever they fixed you is made right there at the mill. And it's an amazing place right on the river. Take about a 10-minute drive out John Bragg Highway, and just before you get out of Rutherford County, you'll see Cripple Creek on the right. Turn left there on the old Woodbury Highway, about a 2-mile drive, go right over the river, turn left. And if the parking place is not full, now if it's full, you'll have to turn right. If you get a chance, go out there anyway, because you'll never regret it.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
This is the G-Man. Go see Robert McConnell and Ken Mobbs. They are honest, reliable, and they treat their customers like family.
Quality automotive repair and diagnostics with service you can trust.
Give them a call today at 896-1407.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Service you can trust.
Tell them the G-Man sent you.
Toots.
Hi, this is Wade Hayes of Toots Good Food and Fun Restaurants. If you haven't tried us out yet in South Murfreesboro, come on down on South Church Street in the Barfield area and enjoy the same good food, good service, and great specials as you've come to love on Broad Street. Toots Good Food and Fun Restaurants, now on South Church Street, Broad Street at Medical Center Parkway, and Sam Ridley Parkway in Smyrna.
Good food and fun.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Well, here it is Thursday, August the 4th, and tonight is the last night to sign up for youth football and cheerleading. That's right, 6 until 8 tonight. Sign up over at McKnight Field next to SportsCom. Now, this is for ages 5 to 12. Murfreesboro Blue Raider youth football and cheerleading. Last night to sign up is tonight. 6 until 8 at McKnight Field next to SportsCom. And remember, this weekend is the Tennessee Tax-Free Weekend. and the farmer's markets in the morning, 6 to 11, right there at the Lane Agri-Park, just down from Sam's. Red Cross Blood Drive Friday from 7 until 3 at the new Red Cross location. That's at 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce building. And the Dinner Theater, A Little Murder Never Hurt Anyone, gets underway tomorrow night at 6:30 as well as Saturday night at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. For information, call the Center for the Arts at 904-ARTS. Oh yes, the Friday night live concerts on the Murfreesboro Square, 6:30 to 9:30 this Friday night. The nine-piece band Skyline Drive will be there playing the hits of the last four decades. And the 11th annual Family Day is Saturday from noon until 3 at the McFadden Community Center over on Bridge Avenue. This is sponsored by the Second Chance Ministry. Free food, entertainment, and special speakers, plus school supplies given away to all children who stay for the entire program. That's noon to 3 Saturday at the McFadden Community Center. Remember that Roy Rogers movie, Saturday at 1 in the theater at the Patterson Community Center. WGNS Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
WeatherEye.
Mainly cloudy this afternoon with occasional sun, slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm, high in the mid-90s with a heat index value as high as 102. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now it's 90.
It's been a busy week and it's finally winding down. Too tired to cook supper? Stop by Kirk & Burt's and pick up our family pack to go. A pound of barbecue, buns, and your choice of side, all for just $9.99. Kirk & Burt's, 517 Cason Lane, just down from the theater.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
With guest Peggy Vaughn.
Welcome back with us. I want to let you know that the second half of this show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac. And all that is in the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shevaville, Tennessee area. For a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. We have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. A vehicle you buy from Stan McNabb, whether it be Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, and Tullahoma, and Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg, and a vehicle you buy from another dealership may look alike, have the same equipment, and be priced the same, but the truth is they are different. Only the new or pre-owned vehicles from Stan McNabb has oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge. And I think that you told me that you bought a car over there before.
We did.
And you can't get a better deal, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and Mevin bought several trucks from me.
Good. Well, of course, living out in the country, you're always going to buy trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Have you? Do you remember going to the movies? And are you old enough to remember the old Roy Rogers movies?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that on Saturdays? And probably remember, I guess it was he had a television show, too,
mm-hmm.
and with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans
right.
starred in. Well, you know, tomorrow, Roy Rogers' daughter, Cheryl, is going to be on the show with us at 2 o'clock tomorrow. And I don't know if you're a big country western fan like I am, but on Saturday over at Patterson Park at their theater there, that she's going to be there, and they're going to show a Roy Rogers movie and some other things. And, you know, what a great way to spend the day for people
yeah.
like us, that we remember all those special things that were pure and honest, and you always knew the bad guy and the good guy. And today, sometimes I have a problem figuring out which is which anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, that was a pure thing about growing up like we did in the rural community, like Las Casas and
yeah.
Kittrell for me,
yeah.
Las Casas and Midland. Don't you think sometimes, wouldn't it be great if if the kids today could enjoy that type of lifestyle.
Oh, I think so, too. I think it would be fun for a day to see the boys have to ride a tractor with no air conditioning or even plow with a mule.
Well, you think about it today.
I don't think they'd last very long.
You know, I do see that, and I still am astonished about some of the equipment they have now. But how in the world do you think that we would survive in the type of heat that we have now, where the heat index is getting up to around 120?
I don't know, but they did it back then. But I can't remember it being that hot when I was growing up, or else you just don't pay any attention to it.
You think that we were so acclimated to it because, you know, they put up all these warnings for people like us and to stay out of the heat and stay inside. The ozone has come all the way down to the ground and all those other things. And to me, I mean, my wife and I, we went out and walked 3 miles before I came over here in the heat. And it was hot. I mean, you got a good sweat going. But do we pamper ourselves too much these days?
I think so. We have too many mechanical things to operate for us.
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, you don't want to go in a house unless it's got an air conditioner. And I was trying to remember the first air conditioner that we had. We had to been up in our 20s before.
Oh, we were at my dad's house, too. But we didn't think anything about it. I remember my brother and I used to sleep out on the front porch at night and never lock a door, not think anything about it.
Wasn't that great?
By the way, did you know that, you probably didn't, that Bill Martin was killed in the Second World War, was my brother?
No, I sure didn't.
Mm-hmm. He was killed in St. Louis, France.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got to go over to see where they came into Normandy.
Uh-huh.
It was very, very impressive. Now, up until I got to not being so well, I traveled an awful lot with traveled with some nice people, Audine Phillips and some of those people, and Kathy Wright and Barbara Benson, and we still take little trips together, and it's fun doing things like that.
Is Barbara the one that arranges all those trips?
Yeah.
She loves that, doesn't she?
Oh,
she
yeah.
She's a people person if there ever was one.
She's a very, very good leader.
Is she still working at the bank?
Mm-hmm. She's up at Pinnacle.
At Pinnacle. Bless her heart. Well, tell me, do you remember when he was killed?
Oh, yes, I do. He was killed on my little brother, on Ben's birthday, the 31st of July.
Oh, my goodness. How old was he? If he had been in his 20s.
He left home when he was 19, and back then they usually gave him a furlough before they sent him overseas, but he never got to come back home.
And that was, and that happened during the invasion?
Invasion, mm-hmm.
I wonder about people who have had family members that took part in that. And you see some of these movies today, like Saving Private Ryan and some of the others. Can you watch those movies without...
It's hard.
Yeah. Because it's been a long time ago. We're talking about quite a few years ago, 60-something.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Yet it still reaches home. Those are the things that you don't ever forget.
You don't forget things like that.
And you have to have a lot of pride in what he did for our country. And I know that you remember a lot of the good things that you were able to share before he left.
Well, see, and the maneuvers were out in our area for so long.
Mm-hmm. Remember those?
Before that, but he never came home, and he was 21.
How were you notified? Did somebody come to your house?
Came to my mom and dad's in a taxi and brought the telegram.
Oh,
and my mother saw the taxi coming, and she said that this is it.
That's so sad.
But we brought his body home.
Now, your mom, that had to have been an awful thing. And back then, I mean, I think every war has had that same problem, in that to be able to notify a parent that their son has been lost and not being able to do it in a... Well, I don't know if there's any way that you can do it where the shock is not going to be the same, or there's no way that you can ease them.
It's and I'm sure it's hard on the messenger.
Oh, it'd have to be.
Bringing it, But
now, how many of you were there?
Three.
Three of you.
I was the oldest, and I'm the only one left. My brother Ben died 2 years ago. And so the oldest one's still hanging around.
That's you're doing more than hanging around, Peggy. Well, tell me what Stan's up to.
I don't know. It's hard to keep up with him. He's in Florida one day and somewhere else the next, and I haven't talked to him in about a week, so I really... He's either en route home or already home.
Is he still in the real estate business?
Yeah.
And where is he now?
He's with Bob Parks.
He's been with them a pretty good while now, hasn't he? Does he do everything, or I know he loves to be an auctioneer.
He's over the auction part
of
it.
Because I know that when we would sell cars, we would always call him, and he was always kind enough to come over and sell for it, and did a great job. I mean, he really did. And he was one of the nicest people to work with, and he's always very conscientious in the things he did. Now, tell me about... We don't want to just stay on Stan now. What about Mike?
Mike's raising calves and just doing... with beans and corn and things like that. He's gone to Texas right now to pick up his daughter. She got her master's degree, and he's gone to move her home.
Now, is he mainly farming?
Yes.
For a living?
Well, he works for... He's an auctioneer, too, but yeah. He loves the farm.
You know, my brother bought a farm over in Auburntown a couple of years ago, and he's out there. To me, you know, that is a life... For young people, when you first get started, because you got all that energy. Farming is a tough business, and it requires a lot of your time, 24 hours a day. But there are so many people still out in Las Casas, although not near as many as they used to be, because actually it's starting to look more like a smaller city than a rural area anymore.
And then my son Bill is a cattle dealer, cattle broker. He works in cattle all the time. He's retired from the post office, and that's what he does.
Followed in Mama's footsteps. Mm-hmm.
And then I have a daughter at College Grove that's secretary to the school there. She's been there about 25 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So I keep them working.
That's the only way that you know how to do it, don't you?
I guess. No, they just like to do it. They could all retire.
Now, when you're a rural postmaster out in a place like Las Casas, that had to be a... trying time, because you would have to get up early. I imagine you kept that post office open as long as you could.
You do, and then you had to go out and inspect the routes, and that was pretty bad on hot days with no air conditioning and on all these dirt roads. But I had, back when I first went in, I had two great carriers, Joe McKee and Clyde Huddleston, and then my husband and Bill took it over after that. So I had it made pretty good.
Now, how did you get on to be... I remember that was the job that everybody was seeking, to get on with the post office.
I think I was about the last political appointee.
So you were a political appointee. Where'd you get your politics, Peggy?
Joe Evans.
That's a pretty big name. Congressman Joe Evans. You see, he was from around the Smithville area. Yeah.
He used to sell shoes, and my daddy was in the general merchandise store in Las Casas, and he would sell shoes to daddy before he got in politics. That's how we knew him.
I would have never considered him a shoe salesman.
Well, that's what he did.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you were talking about inspecting the routes. Now,
I had to go do that once or twice a year.
Now, what did you do?
Inspect that the mailbox were standard, and that they were not broken all to pieces, and that they hadn't been moved too far back off the road, and just had to keep their box up in order.
Now, a rural carrier back then, I've always found it interesting that the mailboxes are usually on the right-hand side for the carrier.
They still are.
And to me, it seems awful awkward, because I watch mine quite a bit when he comes in. Just the nicest fellow that ever was. In fact, I've never met a rude postal carrier. Never. I mean, they're some of the nicest people. You hear all these crazy things that happen to postal people in the bigger cities. They go crazy and all that. But the ones around here are just as nice as they can be. And to me, that's one of the most complicated things. So they get all this mail and all this junk mail that comes through. And you can't miss, because if you ever miss, somebody's going to get mad. That's just the way we are today.
There's many a day I'd love to have thrown it away, but I didn't dare do it.
Now, did you, if you had a complaint on one of your carriers, which I'm sure you have over the years, because there's always complainers out there somewhere.
I had to tell them about it or write it up and put it in their personnel folder.
So you.
But I didn't have many complaints.
Now, I know my father-in-law was a postal worker for over, he had a route for over 40 years in Cookeville. And most, a lot of them, they would have points that were given to them because he was in World War II.
Yeah.
He was injured in World War II. And they would get so many points for being in the military, which would help them if they put in a job at the post office. Is that, does that still carry over now?
To some extent.
If you knew somebody, or all right, let's put it like this. If you had the opportunity to go back and be in the post office again as a postmaster, would you hit it again?
I doubt it.
You wouldn't?
It's just too much, so much paperwork, so much repetition.
Was it that way when you first started?
Oh, yeah. But see, now everything's done by computer. You don't have to have your cash books and all that. That's helped some.
I've always wondered about that because, you know, mail gets lost.
Yeah.
And I always wondered what the way that you were able to trace it down. Say if you were to mail a letter today to go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it got lost somewhere in between. What do you do to try to trace that down? Because I know when if I'm mailing something that has a check in it or money, whatever, I usually take mine directly to the post office. And I don't put it in my...
You would try the dead letter bank first. Because if it went somewhere it was not supposed to, it was supposed to have been sent in to what we call the dead letter service, and they were supposed to get it back to us.
Hmm.
So, sometimes they did and sometimes they didn't.
But if it's got an address on it and it's got a stamp, then if it goes to the wrong place, I mean...
They're supposed to put it back in the box
and
let the carrier pick it up and deliver it the next day.
Okay.
But I didn't have any trouble about that.
Well, you know, the post office has done such a tremendous job over the years.
Let me tell you about my grandchildren before we get through. I have 10 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness.
They just,
wow.
Just keep me busy in there. Everyone just like a fly.
We got a call, so you're going to have to put your earphones on, Peggy. Okay, caller, we're ready. Go ahead, Miss Peggy Vaught.
Truman?
Yes.
Hey, it's Mo.
Hey, Mo. Well, Peggy was waiting for you to call.
Well, Emma was doing a great job, and you're learning everything about Last Cassis you need to know.
Well, not everything. There's a few things that Peggy told me that she was not going to say on the air because she did not want to embarrass you.
Well, you always do that. It doesn't matter what, you know. You always do that. But she has told a fib on there at the end there about she didn't have a post person that would give her any trouble.
Uh-huh.
She forgot about Bobby Wynn, I think.
Now, Bobby Wynn never gave her any trouble, Mo.
Well, you let her tell some stories about Bobby then delivering the mail.
Oh, Bobby delivering the mail?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I wouldn't believe that she would trust him delivering the mail.
Ask her about it.
Okay.
And Mama, you're doing a great job. I'll let you go.
See you, Mo. What is she talking about?
He was real careful a while, and he didn't care. It didn't make a difference to him whether he got it in the right box or not.
So that might, he was a perfect mail carrier.
He was a substitute, yeah.
Yeah.
And he'd just growl if a rule had changed from the time he was there the last time till this time. Wasn't no sense in that. He didn't see any sense in doing all that. Most time he didn't.
Now, would you put up with that with anybody else but Bobby?
Probably not.
Now, how it come you rather, hired him to start with?
I don't know. He put up a pitiful tale, and I think Eleanor was probably getting hungry, and she put up one too. So what were you going to do?
So you're true to your friends no matter what. Just throw it to the wind. It doesn't matter. if they fire you, they fire you.
Yeah.
As long as you hired your buddy.
Right.
But he was looking after you the whole time.
Yeah.
Now, how many complaints did you get on Bobby Wynn?
Oh, gosh. I got a lot.
Do you think they were complaining just because it was Bobby?
I think so. A lot of them were, and a lot of them didn't know him, and they didn't know how to take him in.
Oh, me. I can tell you then, it was a blessing for me to get to know Bobby. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
What a day.
Is it true about you and Charlene?
Who's Charlene?
Oh, no. You have amnesia again.
Seriously, what's with the music?
I'm playing new instant games. I like to add extra drama before I scratch.
Well then, I am your husband's secret twin brother.
Instant games from the Tennessee Lottery. Play them in your own way. And now play the newest games. Hot, hot cash, hundreds of dollars, triple winning sevens, and stacks of cash. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
Huh. It says here the Tennessee Lottery has raised $2 billion for education in just over 7 years. It would take forever to count that high.
Actually, Dad, if you counted a number every second, it would take 63 years.
How'd you get so smart?
I'm a Hope Scholar.
Students across the state are benefiting from Tennessee Lottery-funded programs. Let us know how these dollars have impacted your life. Share your story of hope at seehowitaddsup.com. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
Did you get a sad face after your emissions test?
Come by Todd's Complete Auto Care and we'll get your car to pass and put a smile on your face.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care Center. We'll even take it through emissions for you.
Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
Come see me.
Hi, I'm Dr. Patrick Showalter.
And I'm Dr. Chad Jackson. Did you know that Middle Tennessee Medical Center is home to the Da Vinci Surgical Robot and that we are the first surgeons to use the robot in Rutherford County?
When faced with prostate cancer, the Da Vinci robot makes surgery an excellent option.
It allows for quicker recovery, less blood loss, and studies suggest it may be the most effective, least invasive treatment option for improving cancer outcomes.
For more information or to find a Da Vinci robot certified physician, visit mtmc.org.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
Welcome back with us. Talking to Peggy, and she's fussing because she's having trouble getting the reception at your house. Are you listening to WGNS AM or FM?
AM.
All right. Try 100.5 FM when you get home, and I'll guarantee you you'll hear it clear.
100.5 FM. Remember
yes,
that,
ma'am. LMA. We'll take care of it. I'll give you a big sign.
All right.
And I can tell you that the people, my wife, when she drives to Cookville, she tries to listen to me on the car radio, and she can hear me all the way up on the mountain.
Well, that's
which there's very few dead spots on that. But you know the radio waves are funny how they travel. 'Cause I can remember when we would have the old car radios on at the sheriff's office back almost 40 years ago. And they would have, somehow, the airwaves would skip. And we could actually hear, say, somebody in New Jersey doing roll call at one of the police departments. So, I mean, it's strange. Did you say we got another phone call? Okay, Peggy, ears on. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hey, Truman.
Yeah.
This is Ralph Florida, Harris, Florida, Las Casas.
Hey, how are you, Ralph?
I was listening to Peggy Vaught.
Yes?
You know she's been in charge of the Las Casas Baptist Church Hallelujah Choir for 80 years. Make her tell you about the time we had a revival. Of course, we didn't have air conditioning, and my dad lived next door, and the two bird dogs came in the back door and went to howling while they were singing Just As I Am about the 18th time.
Now tell me about that, Peggy.
Yeah, that was true. I remember that. And this Harris Florida's another character everybody needs to know.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But I remember that. There was two bird dogs. They were his daddies.
And you've been in charge of the choir for how many years?
Oh, Harris stretches everything he tells, you know.
So how long? Are you a singer? Do you sing?
I used to, but I don't do it much anymore. I let the young people do it.
Would you like to sing a little bit
now? Oh, hello, no, and you wouldn't want me to.
Yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't either.
You know, that's one of the most fun things in church is to listen to a choir when they have that beautiful music. Yeah. I mean, it just soothes me down more than anything else that I know of.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I was to sing, it wouldn't soothe you down. You may be fired.
Is Harris a member of the motorcycle gang in Las Casas?
Harris, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Are you still in the motorcycle gang?
I'm still living.
Yeah.
Well, it's my understanding they have two members that belong to that gang in Las Casas. It's Harris and then it's Ed Lowry.
That's right, isn't it, Harris?
Well, yes and no. Ed and I ride some, but we had a motorcycle club back in the 50s called the Rolling Stones, which was mostly Las Casas and Kittrell and Murfreesboro. It had 53 members. And a lot of them old boys are still living.
Well, that's the first time I've heard of that. What did you have?
Bud Mitchell.
What did you have, Harleys?
No, well, I think maybe Bud Mitchell might have had a Harley. Most of us had BSAs and Triumphs. T. Paul Elrod, I don't know whether you remember him or not. He was our ringleader.
Oh, my goodness. Do you remember the accident on Broad Street back during that time that little Elvis Mangrum was riding his bike?
Oh, yeah, I remember it well.
That was such a sad thing. I remember a lot of people sold their bikes a little bit after that. And of course, then, like everything else, they forget and they don't start riding again. But I remember back when you're talking about bikes were pretty much predominant as far as travel for any teenager. Everybody wanted one at that time.
Oh, yeah, Buster Porterfield, and he and Bud Mitchell and James Pike, a lot of those old boys that went in business.
Yeah.
Did well later on. They were members of the club. P.O. Florida, Don Well, who just retired from teaching school.
Yeah, I remember Bud was the first one to have one on the Woodbury Highway. And I never will forget when he got a brand new bike, the first thing he did was tear it apart and put it back together again. So it's funny how you remember things like that. Well, we appreciate you calling, Harris. You've taken up all of Peggy's last 5 minutes that she had, and we're going to have to leave because Brian always gets upset when I go into his hour. Why, I don't know, but because he enjoys this hour so much. But, Peggy, it's been a great time.
I've enjoyed it.
I have enjoyed you being on. You've always been a delight wherever I run into
you. Oh, thank you.
You have the sharpest wit and one of the best sense of humor, and I'm sorry that your buddy back here, we're not going to mention her name since she wouldn't come on with us today.
Yeah.
And I know you brought her specifically to listen to some of the stories that she had to say, but I don't really think that... you know, she's one, I think she'd be better on television.
Probably.
Yeah, you know, one of these pretty ladies that people want to see and they don't want to hear. Yeah. Well, tomorrow we have Roy Rogers' daughter, Cheryl, and she'll be here at 2 o'clock. And we're going to talk a lot about Roy and Gabby and the old bunch. Maybe even say a few words about Trigger and Bullet and maybe even Nellie Bell. And we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.